Greetings, precious kinklings. You're listening to K is for Kinky, and we're your friendly neighborhood kinksters.
Jen.
And Eden.
And why do you say evil?
Because I have an alter ego persona that talks like this. Okay. Today, we are going to be answering a listener question. That's right, y'all. We told you, if you send in questions, we will produce episodes to tailor to what y'all want to hear. So here's our very first one. Today, we're talking about how to surrender as a top.
Hello, and welcome to the K is for Kinky podcast. This podcast discusses adult topics, so if you are offended by adult topics or are under the age of 18, please stop listening now. Also, while Miss Jen is a therapist, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not to be taken as personal therapy for you. She is not your therapist. And if she is your therapist, just remember that what she says only technically counts in your private sessions.
Perfect delivery. No need to add.
Cool, we're ready.
Hi, Eden.
Hi, Miss Jen.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I know that it's February, and that's good because that's the month I was born, and we should all be celebrating that because, you know, awesome.
But it wasn't February. It was March, and they didn't release the episode when they thought they would, so this banter is silly, but you still have to hear it because it's cute, so enjoy this February banter in March.
Also, it's the month of love, according to some love. Also, it's kind of, the month got shortchanged. Like, February is so short.
Or lub.
The month of wub. But yeah, there's like 28 days. It's like, you know, because the calendars are...
Except not this year.
Yeah, this year there's 29, which...
Which means...
I get a real birthday.
Real birthday. For those who don't know, Eden is a leap year bebe.
It's true, and I'm turning 8 years old this year.
Yes. That sounds really bad for me.
Yeah, it does. It does.
But in human years, it's 31, 2.
32.
32.
4 has to be divisible.
I can math.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, anyways, so we're doing good over here. Let's dive into the topic. So we had a listener submit a question about surrendering as a top, and I'm going to go ahead and read the question, and then we're going to answer it to the best of our ability. So here we go. I love how I'm introducing how we're going to do this. Like, it's not just common sense, or like people are not already familiar with how the podcast runs. Maybe you're not, though. Maybe this is your first episode.
And hey, Eden.
Yeah?
Read the question.
Yeah, sorry. Let me do that. Okay, so the question is as follows. I'm a new top, new to BDSM. I have a problem surrendering into intimacy. I can surrender into intimacy when... Oh my God, I can't read from this distance. I'm going back and forth trying to read around the mic thing. Hold on.
Just move the microphone closer.
We're experiencing technical difficulties in the form of reading and distance.
The mic is on a movable stand.
I understand.
Push it. Push it good.
What? Don't.
Closer
don't
to the computer.
That was so close to copyright. Honestly, like, I just...
Oh my gosh.
I don't want to be dinged because I'm tired.
I'm too tired.
I'm too tired. Okay. Let me try this again. All right.
I believe in you.
Well, I don't, so I think that's one of us. I have a problem surrendering into intimacy. I can surrender into... Okay, this is going really bad. I'm holding the computer up.
Do that again. I gotta take your picture.
This is going wrong. I'm a new top, new to BDSM. I have a problem surrendering into intimacy. I can surrender into intimacy when I'm a bottom, but the responsibility I feel as a top turns into pressure to perform, which creates a distance. How can I surrender into intimacy so that I connect better while topping? What does that look like in practice? Love this question. Do apologize for laughing.
We are taking it seriously. It's just, I will try to remember to post this picture.
You have to post it
now. If you allow
me
to post the picture.
Yes, because, probably.
It was really funny what Eden had to go through to be able to talk into the mic at the same time as reading the computer.
Yeah, I maybe should have just like sent the question to my phone.
Gymnastics. That's true. That would have been smart.
It would have been smart. But anyways, let's actually answer the question. All right. This is a great question because...
It is a great question.
Even just recently, I had a conversation with somebody and I realized, oh, we hold space for bottoms to be vulnerable, insecure, feel pressured, or not to know something, but we don't hold space for tops to feel that way. We place so much pressure on tops to, one, be dominant, even if they don't identify as a dominant. And then we place judgment if somebody does something that we decide isn't dominant. And, like, that's so harsh and so heavy for tops to hold, you know? So, like, that's kind of what we need to talk about today as well, is, like, how do we treat each other and how do we perceive each other and what pressures do we place on each other when we figure out that a person is a top or a bottom? I think we should start there.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a big reason why I run View from the Top, which is a support group for D-types, because it's interesting. There's a couple of different ways that a new D-type can feel pressure, right? There's the new D-type, so the new person coming in who either knows or wants to explore themselves on the D side of the slash, right? And so they're starting there and they're brand new to everything. So there's obviously going to be a learning curve. But then I also think about how I started becoming a D-type and how I had experience in the scene. But becoming a D-type, it was almost like there was even more pressure to know how to D-type,
yeah,
if you will. Because even though I had never been a full-time D-type, I'd been in the scene. So it was almost like there was extra expectation that I would know how to sit in that space, which I can understand why there's that expectation. But there is still a learning curve there. But in this case, we're talking about somebody who's new to everything, which can be extremely overwhelming.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... I to the listener who asked this question and to anybody else who can relate, if you are a new D-type, please don't feel like you should be coming in knowing everything. If anyone else seems to expect that of you, then they're the dum-dum.
hold on. This is just a learning experience right now. I'm working on adjusting ableist language. So dum-dum actually is considered ableist. I know you're saying, oh my God, but I'd love to adjust it. I'd love to model better practice. So they're the ones that are being...
They're a jerk face?
Yeah, I'll take jerk face at this time. If somebody wants to let me know that jerk face is also problematic, let me know. But they're kind of being, you know, I also say, like, they're being kind of a dick. They're being an asshole. We're saying it's not the best to place our expectations on other people, especially those expectations are based around... kind of shitty concepts that we should be pulling apart. So let's talk about this really fast. Let's talk about this.
Sorry, I'm laughing at your body.
I do a lot of gestures. Like this, if y'all could see this podcast as it's being recorded, you'd get even more out of it, to be real. Or
Eden just grew wings somehow as... Do you want me to record this? You
know,
no.
I don't want witnesses. Okay, so here's the deal. What the fuck does dominant mean? How do we identify when a person is dominant? And I used to be guilty of saying, you know, I can tell dominance when I see it. And I still do feel that that can be true for me. But what I actually like to adjust that statement to now is I can tell when someone has dominant energy in relation to me when I see and feel it. I can tell when somebody has a vibe with me where we have the chemistry that allows for them to be in a more dominant vibe, and I'm able to sink and I feel comfortable not being as dominant around them. Like I feel safe to be different with them. That's something that's specific to how I'm relating. My energy is interacting with someone else's energy. And that's unique to me and other people. So for instance, I might find somebody and go, that person doesn't really have that vibe with me. I don't feel that they're dominant energetically with me. And then somebody else might meet that same person and go, oh, this is the dominant of my dreams. Like, I think it's important to shift the conversation off of I can spot dominance into I can spot dominance in relation to myself. Because that's the type of statement that we can state that is fair to say that does not place judgment generically on a person and whether or not they are, like, objectively dominant or not. I think it's just kind of problematic and harmful. And I want to adjust my own language and talk to other people about adjusting theirs when we make blanket statements about whether or not a person is dominant and like what those qualities have to be to count. It's a very slippery slope into gatekeeping dominance and gatekeeping submission. And it leads directly into stereotypes and prejudice. And it also, I think this leads into people restricting themselves, judging themselves internally, and then also not being able to connect to their vulnerability in any role. And the question is, how do I be vulnerable, right? As a top, how do I sink into that? And it's like, part of that is first understanding that tops are allowed to be vulnerable. And I think that most people, when they think about tops and dominance in general, not that the two are interchangeable or that they have to go hand in hand, but we don't think of the word vulnerable. We think of every word that is like the antonym of vulnerable. And yet, I will say, as a top myself, when I top, I feel incredibly vulnerable. And I've actually been hurt before by a bottom not understanding my vulnerability, perceiving that I didn't need care, that I couldn't be hurt, that my sense of self-esteem wasn't involved, or that my need to provide care or nurturing or impact or touch was from a vulnerability in me. Like, I think a lot of the times, because we don't talk about this and we don't allow for tops to be human beings in the same way that we try to advocate for bottoms to be human beings, this dehumanization of the top so that they can be put on a pedestal or so that they can be our fantasy makes it so hard for tops to show up as their genuine selves.
Yeah, I think, you know, strength comes from vulnerability, and for a top to admit vulnerability, expose vulnerability, shows strength and shows, not bravery. What am I trying to say?
I don't know. I want to help you, but I don't know.
Anyway, whatever. You get it. So, you know, we are all human, and being able to admit whatever our vulnerability is, including I'm new, I don't know what I'm doing yet, I am learning these skills, that is being vulnerable, and that is being honest. And I think, you know, that's the part that a bottom would appreciate about a newer top, is that top saying, look, I am learning, I don't know all the things, but I'm going to be honest here so that you can trust me, because it's about trust when we play with somebody. And if somebody is bottoming to a top who is new, who is trying to pretend that they know what they don't, and somebody gets hurt, or even just finding out later that that top didn't really know what they were doing and they risked, you know, that bottom's safety, that's going to affect trust.
I also want to point out that tops who are super experienced and very well known are still humans, have their own insecurities, have their own needs, have their own foibles, and also that tops can make mistakes at any stage in their journey. Mm-hmm. And it's really critical to understand that even if a top or a dominant that you know has a really high standard for themselves, they may still fall short. And I think it's actually important for tops and dominants to be able to not only acknowledge that they can't be perfect and that they can't hold their perfect ideal standard always, but to be able to acknowledge how to recover when mistakes are made or when things don't go the way they want. Because it's actually, in my opinion, a dangerous top or dominant who only expects perfection from themselves, because then they don't know what to do when they fall short. They don't know how to adjust. And typically when we get into a perfectionist mindset, and somebody, let's say that like you're a top and you're really good at your skill and you've been doing like, I don't fucking know, like let me pick one random, like let's say that you're a needle top, I'm just picking randomly, and you're the best needle top in the world and everybody comes to play with you and you've been needle topping for like 10, 15, 20 years, whatever. You tour, you're well known, you have a name for yourself, right? Let's say that you are basically a celebrity and you're a needle top and you have a practice that you use that actually isn't that great. And you have been doing it for years, or maybe you used to do a better practice and you've started to fall by the wayside because nobody's holding you accountable. And you think that you're perfect, and you also think you have to be perfect because that's part of how you identify as a top. And one day you do something where this not best practice is harmful to somebody, and the bottom actually has the courage to talk to you and says, hey, you did this thing that really made me uncomfortable. Or, hey, I actually got hurt by what you did. And I'm not mad. I just want to understand what happened. And I want to know that you can alter your practice. If that top thinks that they have to be perfect in order to be a top or to be dominant, they are liable to reject what the bottom is saying, blame the bottom, turn the tables on the bottom, not take accountability, and then continue to do harmful practice. So this concept and this conversation also spans to that level of like how critical it is to be supportive to tops, to let tops know that it's okay to make mistakes, and to have conversations and dialogue about avenues of recovery and even reparation when mistakes are made. Because nobody can be perfect. So what do we do as tops or as dominants when we make mistakes? Do we have partners and people in our life who let us make mistakes? Do we have avenues and structures in ourselves and in the world around us where we can adjust our practice and hear feedback when we fall short?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's creating as a bottom or as the bottom to a top, creating that safer space to be able to have that conversation and for it to be okay. And hopefully that leads to the top being able to take it in. You know, we can only hope.
But we're talking here, though, about how vulnerability isn't just important for the top to have a good experience. It's also important for the bottom to have a good experience and a safe experience. We have to be able to be vulnerable people who are constantly growth mindset and capable of hearing when we fall short and capable of showing up as our full selves. We have to do that in order to really be safe for each other when we play. That's my belief, at least. That's my practice. Let's kind of pull this out, because this is some of the loftier levels of this question, but let's bring it kind of down a little bit more into just the basics of new top, difficulty showing up vulnerable right now. How do we connect to vulnerability? What does it look like? Let's get down to that.
I mean, on a really surface level, part of it, in my opinion, is practice. Because practicing whatever the skill is or skills that you are really into as a top, which, by the way, that I'm going to back up even a little bit further and say, find the things that you really connect with, because those are the skills that you will find your confidence in. And it doesn't mean that you can't do other things here and there for, you know, if your partner's really into them or what have you, but finding what really curls your toes as a top, and then practice getting better at those things. As you do so, your confidence will build in those skills. And as your confidence builds in those skills, so will your ability to relax and just focus on that connection and that intimacy with your partner.
That's awesome. I'm a very new top. I want to label myself as such. I've been topping for about a year, and maybe a little more, but roughly a year. And I only still at this time, I really only use my hands and my body as implements. And, I'm very slow in picking up skill because I don't play with a lot of people. I'm building and working on building as a top what I, in my opinion, is the foundation, which is understanding why I want to top, what type of energy I want to create, and building relationships with people I trust who are strong-voiced bottoms who can give me feedback. Because I am very aware that I am building skill, that it takes years to build skill, years to build confidence, and that what's most important is not me putting on the airs of a top or a dominant, but for me, my focus is more on I want to learn the practical, physical, hard skills to be able to do this. And I want to understand how to use these skills to serve not only myself, but the person I'm playing with. And so I think a piece of advice that I have, if you are a new top, and I really can only offer a limited amount of advice, because again, I'm not speaking from a place of being an experienced or seasoned top. I'm only speaking from a space of, hey, I'm right there with you. I'm also new, right? I would advise, if you're looking to attach to what makes you vulnerable as a top, one, accepting that you don't need to come off like you know everything or that you are perfect. In fact, it is comforting to bottoms when a top approaches and says, hey, I can do these three things and I really want to work on them. I am looking for feedback. I am new. I may talk more than is normal in a scene because I'm checking in more, right? I may do this or that, but would you trust me enough to let me practice? And can I trust you enough to tell me if I'm hurting you or if you want more? This type of basic trust building involves intimacy and involves vulnerability. And I would start there of just being honest, showing up and being honest, laughing if you make a mistake, as long as it's not harmful, but like being good natured about yourself, not taking yourself too seriously. And then also allowing yourself to kind of investigate as you're playing and you're getting into the swing of it. What are you feeling? Do you feel alive? Do you feel like you're attaching to like a sadistic piece of you that you don't normally get to access? Do you feel like you are healing? Are you reaching out and holding somebody? Are you investigating somebody? Are you just loving the vibe? Are you zoning in? What do you love about the energy that you share with the bottom? Tell them that. Be vulnerable by choice, by practice. Say, this was my experience. I really loved this. I personally thank my bottoms for giving me the chance to explore myself and to provide safe space. Because for me personally, and this may be different for every top, I do healing work when I am topping. It is my primary interest. I use pain and impact, but I am there to envelop a person and hold them so that I can potentially help them feel especially safe, loved, and like so that I can be connected to them. To me, I get fed from that. And that's a gift that they give me, that they trust me. So I tell them, thank you. And I acknowledge that it's a gift. And I let them know I was vulnerable with you. Like, I let them see that. And that's how I personally attach to my vulnerability as a top. And I've found that I've only had it happen very rarely. Bottoms who don't understand that I'm there for them and I'm there to do that type of work and who are trying to get me to be like their fantasy of a top, that does not work with me. I have had to stop a scene because of that happening. Like, it's very unfortunate, but like, I don't like to be fetishized as a top in that way. I like for people to see me as I am and show up with me as they are. So like, that's what I require in my scenes. Transparency, vulnerability. If we can't both be there and we can't both do that and we're not both having a good time and we're not both vibing, it's not a good fit. But this is my personal experience and opinion on the matter. Ms. Jen, can you speak a little bit to how you take on transparency and vulnerability with yourself?
Well, and what you're talking to, I just want to point out, is you exploring and figuring out who you are as a top and connecting with that. And I think that's an important piece as well. As a top learning skills, it's also learning, here's the things that I love to do, but also, who am I as a top? What is my top energy that I give? It doesn't mean that all your scenes are going to look the same, but what kind of top are you, right? So part of it is that exploration as well. I was going to say, I also, you know, will thank my bottoms for letting me hit them with stuff.
Thank you. I really needed a target to hit. You were great. You barely moved at all.
No, but that's, you know, when I'm done playing, oftentimes a bottom will thank me, which I appreciate, and I thank them right back. You know, I'm not like, you're welcome. Like,
thank you. You're welcome. I'm so great. Love, Miss Jen.
I mean, I might if I'm teasing, but yeah, I mean, I thank them too because it's both people are being vulnerable. Both people are having to trust each other. You know, and a lot of times in the scene, people talk a lot about, you know, to bottoms saying, you know, you have to be able to trust your top. You have to be able to, you know, you're putting your physical, your mental, emotional, whatever into their hands. You have to be able to trust them. And that is absolutely 100% true. And hey, tops, you have to be able to trust your bottom, right? The trust goes in both directions, in my opinion. And so, yeah. What was your question to me? Sorry. I wanted to say as you were talking.
I think you did a good job. I was asking you like how you connect to your own vulnerability as a top and what practices you do or how you identify yourself vulnerable. You know what I mean?
I start every scene, as you know, with the question to my bottom of, do you trust me? Or do you still trust me? Since last time, do you
Since the last trust time. Me? Have I done anything that's lost your trust?
And I start every scene that way. And for me, it's reaffirming that relationship. It also reminds myself that it is my job to maintain and earn that trust on a continual basis. The responsibility, right? It reminds me, hey, like, check in with yourself. You are responsible for this human in front of you. They trust you right now. And that's kind of a big deal. You know, that somebody is trusting me to do wonderful, horrible things to them, you know? So that's a part of my practice that centers me in that to start mm-hmm. every scene.
I want to speak to something that Ms. Jen said that I think is so critical, which is the act of comparing yourself to other tops and the result of you finding yourself falling short. I know for
Did
me,
I
as
talk
a,
about that?
No, you mentioned how oh. I am discovering myself as a top and like, oh. what type of a top am I?
I was like, wait, what?
And then you talk about yourself as a top, and I kind of want to like actually do comparison really fast between myself and Ms. Jen. I don't think for 1 second that Ms. Jen and I top for the same reason. I think we have overlap. I think we have things that we both really love, like energy work. And I think that we are very particular, each of us, about who we want to top because of energy and vibe. Like, we are looking for connection and intimacy that is genuine. And I think that's probably, in general, where our practices start to diverge. Because Ms. Jen is very sadistic. And it's hot. Let me just be real. She's also very confident, has way more skill set than I do at this time. And, you know, her vibe is very particular. I would honestly describe Ms. Jen's energy as dominant in relation to myself. And I think that many who have played with her probably feel similarly. I don't know that the people that I play with would describe my energy as dominant. And I also don't care either which way. If they do, I hold that and I can be that. And that's not like out of alignment with how I feel sometimes when I'm playing.
You're not rejecting it.
No, I'm not. I don't reject that. But I'm not going into scenes necessarily with a dominant energy. I go into scenes centered in myself. I go into scenes curious about the person, wanting to explore and create something new with that person. And I go into the scene with the intent of, I want this person to leave different than they came in. I want this person to feel different in a way that feels supportive to them.
Sore
I want
and marked.
No. I want healing to occur in this session. Even if healing looks different for different people, I am there to hold and to investigate and to pull apart and to be there to put back together again. And for me, sadism might play a very faint role, but it's really not my focus. I could happily do sensation for an entire scene and be completely fulfilled. And it's to me more about supporting that person.
Because non-painful sensation.
But I also do it.
No,
use
I know.
Pain.
You're saying you could.
I'm saying the pain's not important to me. Pain is nothing but a tool to me at all. And I think that like that is a very specific thing about me as a top. Some people might say that's service topping, but I disagree. Because I am also getting something selfishly out of it because I love investigating people, being vulnerable with people, getting right up close to a person's spirit and soul. I'm still getting something that is to a degree self-serving out of it, but I also feel like I'm not going to be happy if that person doesn't walk away also feeling served. Like, I have a very particular vibe as a top, and there's a reason I call myself a top and not a dominant. And it's not that I don't think I could be a dominant, because I absolutely could be. I could be anything that I fucking want to be, and so can all of you. And I really hate it when people give each other texts of, you can never be a dominant, or you're such a sub, or you're such a this, or you're such a that. I really don't like it. And I'm not saying that I haven't been guilty of, I mean, I don't know that I've ever said those phrases, but I maybe have thought them before. Like, we all have judgments we place on other people, but I'm challenging in myself and in anyone listening why we feel the need to do it and why we don't recognize the capacity in other people to change and grow and be multifaceted. Like, I am multifaceted. In my own relationship with my dominant, I am multifaceted. And it's such a blessing and a joy to be able to play with others and to explore other humans and to find out all the ways that I can be different and show up. But the point of coming back to what I was saying is that you don't have to compare yourself as a top to other dominants or other tops. Like, you don't owe that to yourself or others to match what other people put down. I am not going to be like somebody who's super sadistic. I'm just not. I'm going to be like me as a top. I'm going to be like me as a top with that person too. I'm a different top, slightly different or majorly different with every different partner I have, because I have a different relationship to that person. Different level of trust, different type of chemical, like energetic reaction. Like, I am who I am with that person, and who I am, as long as that person is happy and I am happy, is who I'm supposed to be, who I'm going to be. And I won't allow myself to be told or to compare myself as a top or as a human being to other people in their practice. Nor am I going to disparage another person's practice unless I think it is harmful. I'm not going to talk about another person's dominance as if it's less or better than my own, or their toppingness as if it is less or better than my own. You're you. And you have to find your own flavor and stand strong in the fact that this is what I bring to the table today. And that, I think, is part of being vulnerable too, is giving yourself the permission to just manifest yourself as a top in what is natural for you.
Yeah, the part, because I keep, as you're talking, I keep rereading the question as well. And I think, you know, part of the question is around this pressure to perform, which creates this distance. And, you know, my practical advice to that is, when you do start to feel anxious about how you're performing and you start to realize that you're kind of emotionally distancing yourself, to just take a moment, remember that you are the top, which means that you can do this whenever you need to, which is to take a moment, take a deep breath, put down whatever implement you might have in your hand, touch your bottom in whatever consensual way you've been given permission to, and just hold them or touch their back with your hands, run your fingers down their arms, do things that connect you physically while you take your own breath and remind yourself that really that is the focus, is that connection, not this performance.
Yeah.
If I'm the bottom playing with a top who is worried about performing, yeah, there is a disconnect. And as a bottom, I'm going to feel that disconnect. So better to put everything down and just say, get in there.
Get in there.
Sorry. And I mean, like, get into their energy, right? Get into their space. Connect with them in a way that does feel comfortable so that you can reconnect to your own comfort and set aside this idea that you're supposed to be performing for them.
I want to jump on that. Love that. I want to jump on it and also point out, a thought just left. Hold on.
Come back.
I want to point out that the one time I've had a scene where I really struggled was because I was aware that the bottom wanted something from me that was not what I had to give. And I felt pressured to meet their order in the sense of they were showing up and poking and prodding at getting something from me, and I wasn't allowed to just make the decisions on my own. And I think part of topping that's so hard to a degree to grasp, and like, I've heard different tops speak about this differently, but like, I kind of want to frame it in a way that is in alignment with my ethics. Okay, we get a chance when we're negotiating to find out what the bottom wants and what the top wants and to hear that, and we have opportunity to find out in the negotiation if what that person wants is something that we even have to give. But ultimately, once we're in a scene and we are topping, we not only have a responsibility, in my opinion, to create safe space and to honor all boundaries, we also have a responsibility to lead the scene. And the bottom has agreed, hopefully, in the negotiation to allow you to lead the scene as long as you operate within their boundaries. And they have ability to control the scene with safe words. But beyond that, it's supposed to be up to the top, generally speaking, to make decision and lead. And for me, I am most happy and in my element when I am able to within the confines of what was negotiated, make my own choices and move on my own impulse of what I want to do with the bottom. And what I find is that what I want to do sometimes is the most gentle caress imaginable. What I want to do is make that person feel like their skin is crawling with nerves because I have been that gentle. And then I also want to smack or hit. Like, I have the way that I like to play and I like to feel and I like to move. And it does not necessarily require, nor does it necessarily work with a bottom demanding from me what they want from me. I'm not there to work in that way. So I think that's also part of what Ms. Jen is saying to a degree. Like, it definitely reminded me of that, of like, you have to give yourself permission as the top to be vulnerable enough to ask for and to instigate what you want within the confines of the negotiation. You have that. That is vulnerability. You're not there to perform or to be a role unless you've agreed to that. Like, I feel like that can also be the disconnect, is like, oh, I have to show up and I have to be the top that they think I am. I have to make sure that they have their needs met. And whatever those are, I have to do that, even if I don't want to do that. And that's a really uncomfortable position to be in as a top. That is the kink dispenser position. Versus being like, I might spend an hour never hitting this person, even though we did negotiate that I could, because I just don't feel that that's my vibe tonight. I'm going to give the scene that I have to give. I mean, you have to negotiate this and let the person know, like, hey, I'm going to go within the – here's the realm. Here's the range. Are you down? Like, you can always negotiate and say, hey, tonight I'm feeling softer. Tonight I'm feeling this way or whatever. But to me, it takes courage to not only ask permission to hit somebody or to impact their vessel with pain. It takes courage to let somebody touch you gently or to ask, can I be gentle with you? Can I be intimate and loving with you and also combine that with this impact and these things? To me, that's my form of vulnerability, because it's not so scary to ask somebody, can I spank you? But to say, can I stroke the shell of your ear? Can I gently run my nails down your back in between more extreme sensation? Can I actually love you? Will you let me do that? I think that a lot of what we do in this scene is showing up for each other and holding space. And the top is being held as well, and I don't know that people realize that. The top is being held. Yeah, I'm going to hurt you, but I come bearing gifts of, like, security, safety, and love. Will you hold those for me while I hurt you?
And don't forget, it's about having fun.
Yeah. If you're not having fun or not enjoying yourself, what are we doing here?
I mean, I think we've done a good job answering this question, hopefully.
Yeah, mix it up. Be okay to giggle. Be okay to laugh. You're not perfect and you're not supposed to be. And if a bottom expects you to be.
I giggle a lot during my scenes, but it's usually for different reasons.
Yeah, yeah, you do.
But I also like my bottoms to laugh.
You're a happy sadist and you do. You like the playful energy. Mm-hmm. I think we did cover this pretty well. I wish we could give more concrete stuff. But the only thing else I can think to add to this that's concrete that you can take is to upfront tell the bottom, if you do feel this way, hey, so stoked for our scene tonight. I'm ready to be here. I am nervous. I know I can do it. You don't need to be nervous, but I'm letting you know that I'm so excited to play with you and I'm a little nervous. I'm newer and I just want you to know how much I care about doing a good job. And I might need a little bit of support in the scene, you know, if I get nervous or anything like that. But because hopefully if you're a new top, you're picking bottoms who are experienced enough to hold space for you.
Or at the very least to understand where you're coming from. Yeah. And to create a safe place for you to hold that.
Yeah, and that's the other piece of advice, is play with experienced bottoms if you are
that's
in the top.
A big one. Like, I mean, not everybody has the opportunity, but if you do have the opportunity to play with more experienced bottoms as a newer top, that is a gold mine of ability to get some of the best feedback you can get to grow as a new top. So that is another solid piece of advice for sure that we give a lot.
Well, I loved this conversation. I thought we covered quite a bit. I hope that the listener who submitted this question got a lot out of it and that we gave y'all food for thoughts. What was
and
that
email
hard
us
to say?
Email us back once you hear this and let us know if you have any follow-up questions or if we did a good job. If you yeah. We like to hear back from our listeners who we answer.
So. Yeah, we would really like to request more listener questions. For the month of January, we only did one episode drop, but we want to do at least two episodes a month, if not more, depending on how many listener questions we get. So please do not be shy.
Weird?
Because I am me and I yeah. do what gotcha. I will. Yeah. I love how you pointed out, like, you haven't heard me use silly voices our entire relationship. Like, this is new to you.
You were saying it like you were ashamed to say it or something. We want more questions, people. I mean, we have a good handful right now in the docket, but we always want more. We love to hear from you.
We do love to hear from you. And hopefully you love to hear from us at K is for Kinky. Let's do our amazing shout outs for our patrons. We have a Patreon. Did you know that? I'm sure you did. The Patreon recently got restructured and our channel in general has been slightly restructured. It is so inexpensive to have access to some of the coolest channels on our Discord, but just so you know, the Discord itself is free. It's K is for Kinky. You can just hop right on there. We do have a Patreon, as I said, but this is just because we want to create avenues for people to help support financial. We don't expect financial support from y'all. If you cannot offer financial support, we still love you and want you to be around. One way you can support us without spending a penny is leaving a positive review and giving us 5 stars. That really helps us out a lot. And then just
telling
your
friends.
Wow,
and family.
Well, maybe. Depends on the family.
My mom listens.
Oh my God. We love that mom listens to this. what are our shout outs this week?
All right. We got our Call Me Kinkling shout outs, which is Pudding,
Jenny,
Scratch,
and
Spicy Newbies.
Woohoo! How it's like
Thank
we rehearsed that, even though we
so,
didn't, actually.
We did not. Thank you so much to all of you and all of our patrons for supporting us. We really, really appreciate it.
We really do appreciate it. And of course, we would be remiss if we did not shout out our amazing team, Sid and Tussled. These fine kinksters really make a difference in our lives and make it easier for us to be able to have this podcast and to run the Discord. So if you haven't met Sid or Tussled, hop right on and say hello in the channels and stuff. And with that being said, we will see you next time here on K is for Kinky.
Be well, precious kinklings.
Bye. Bye. Really in tandem there. Jeez. We're like almost psychotically bound. We're psychologically linked. We are in the same brainwave. My brain just ate your brain.